It's good to see everyone out this morning. I hope you've had a good week. We looked at this past week at loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And among the ways that we show that, obviously we come together and worship the Lord, we remember Jesus' death, and we live our lives in accordance with His will. We're obedient to Him. One of the ways that we also show that is through sharing the gospel with others. And often in the New Testament, at least, that idea of sharing the good news is compared to fishing. Jesus talking about making them fishers of men. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, we see that. Verse 19 particularly, Jesus says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He had seen Peter and Andrew fishing with their nets. And he said, not just fish, let's catch some men. I'll make you fishers of men. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Jesus there, we see, there was a multitude pressed about him to hear the word, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. Those are the same place. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they brought, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Fishing takes commitment. When we think about becoming fishers of men, like Jesus taught to Peter and Andrew and James and John. Now he said, if you'll come, if you'll follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. He's going to do the hard work of making us what we ought to be, but it does take some commitment on our part. You see, this fellow was pretty committed. He fought that fish to the death. Kind of reminds me of that old story that I read in junior high, the old man in the sea. And that fellow fought with that fish and wound up, I think that's about all he got, was a skeleton at the end of it for all his troubles. But it takes commitment. That's one of the reasons I've really never been real good at fishing, because when it's hot and the bugs are biting, and you know, it doesn't take long for me to get tired and want to go where the air conditioning is. But we can't do that when it comes to something as important as the gospel. First of all, we want to notice that fishing takes a commitment to keep your equipment clean. You know, there's not much worse than for you to go out to get your fishing equipment in the spring and you get that rod and reel out and you pull it out and there's a dead, dried up worm stuck on the hook from last year. You didn't clean it up before you put it away. I know none of the real fishermen have ever had a problem like that, but people like me that don't really like fishing, we do things like that. We don't keep the equipment clean, and then the line gets all tangled up, and it gets old and brittle, and we have to keep up with our equipment if we're going to be good fishermen. And the same is true when it comes to fishing for men. There in Luke chapter 5 and verse 2, he saw the two boats, and it says the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. In another place, he catches James and John with their father Zebedee, and they were mending their nets. That was an important thing. If you had a big hole in your net, the fish would just swim right through the hole. You wouldn't catch them. And so keeping up with the equipment was an important part of fishing. The same thing is true of us as Christians. Our equipment, if we'll excuse the analogy and the metaphor, is our lives. We have to keep our lives clean in order to catch men. 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Many times, people are turned off to the gospel, not because of Christ, not because of His cross, not because of the expectations that God has on them, but they're turned off by people who proclaim to be Christians but are not living according to the standards that God set. We need to keep our lives clean if we're going to catch others. What do you think about this fella? How much chance do you suppose there is that he's going to catch something sitting there in the middle of the street fishing in a mud puddle? Fishing takes a commitment to go where the fish are. If we don't go where there are some fish to be caught, we'll never catch a fish. The story is told of a man who wasn't real bright. He wanted to go ice fishing. He'd seen books about it. He'd seen it happen on TV and stuff. And he thought, wow, that'd be just the thing. I'm going to go ice fishing. And so he got together all the things he needed, and he went to the nearest frozen spot. He positioned his comfy little stool and sat down there, and he started to try to make a circular cut in the ice like he had seen done. Suddenly, from above, a voice boomed, "There are no fish here." He quickly got his stuff together and moved on down a little further, and he set up again, and he started to cut again, and the voice came again, "There are no fish there." He was disturbed by this, but he stopped. He looked up and he said, "Who are you? Are you God?" And the voice came back to him again, "No, I'm the manager of this ice skating rink, and there are no fish there." If we're going to fish and catch something, now, that fellow that was fishing in the mud puddle, he might have just been having a good time relaxing. I don't know. But if you're going to actually hope to catch a fish, you're going to have to put your hook in the water where the fish are. That's the only way that it will work. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." They weren't going to catch any fish on the shore. At least not the kind of fish they were looking for at that time. He said, "You go out there into the deep." Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And we see that happening in the first century. The disciples went out to the people. Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with us having a building. We need a place to come together to worship God and to have a place where we can fellowship together, and it's a wonderful thing that we have. But we need to understand that to catch fish, to fish for men, this idea of building the building, and you know the old field of dreams idea, if you build it, they will come. That's not reality. That would be like going out into the water in the boat and expecting the fish to jump into the boat with you. That's not the way fishing works. If we're going to get the fish, we've got to go out there to them. We can't sit here at the building and expect they're just all going to come to us. That won't work that way. We've got to go out there. Now, anybody who's ever fished, even where the fish are, sometimes it's hard to get one to bite. Maybe the wrong time of day, maybe they just ate, maybe they're asleep, I don't know what it is, but I know I've gone places where I know there were fish there, because I caught fish there before, but didn't catch any that time. And sometimes we're going to find that to be the case, that we're not always going to be able to catch a fish every try. But we have to go where they are or we will never catch one. Fishing also takes a commitment to actually fish when you get there. You know, a lot of us go places where there are fish. We go to our jobs, there are fish there. We go to the store, there are fish there. We may go to a ball game, there are fish there. We may go to our friends and neighbors' houses, our relatives, we may go to a family reunion, and there may be fish there. We've got to fish when we get there. If we go where the fish are and just swim around with them, that's not going to accomplish anything either. We've got to actually fish when we get there. There was a man who called home to his wife and he said, "Honey, I've been asked to go on a fishing trip at a big lake up in Canada with my boss and several of his of the higher-ups in the company." And he said, "It's a great, we're going to be gone for a week, but it's a great opportunity for me because I'll get a chance to really make a move on getting that promotion I've been wanting." And so the wife said, "Well, that sounds great, honey." He said, "Well, will you do me a favor? Will you get my rod and reel out and my tackle box?" And he said, "And we're going to just be leaving straight from the office. Will you pack me up some clothes, too, enough for a week? And oh yeah, oh, will you put in my new blue silk pajamas?" Now she thought that last was kind of an odd request. I don't know about you, but if I was camping out in the woods going fishing, I don't know that I'd need my blue silk pajamas if I was just with the fellas, with the guys. But she thought it was odd, but she packed it all up anyway. And the following weekend when he came back home, he was a little tired, but he looked pretty good other than that. The wife said, "Well, did you catch many fish?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I caught walleye, I caught bluegill, I even caught a few pike. It was a great fishing trip. But why didn't you pack my blue pajamas for me like I asked you to?" She said, "Oh, well, I did. I packed them in your tackle box." Well, we've got to actually fish when we get there. Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, Simon answered and said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." You know, sometimes we feel frustrated because maybe we tried fishing, and just like Simon said, we fished all night and we didn't catch anything. There aren't any fish out there to catch. And sometimes we get frustrated and we feel that way. We feel like, well, there's just nobody out there that's interested in the gospel. We need to keep fishing. We need to fish. Let God worry about the catching. We need to do the fishing. We need to get the nets and the hooks out there. Hebrews 5:12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." They weren't progressing. They ought to have been out there fishing, and instead they were sitting in the cabin wanting somebody to feed them. They should have been out there doing some fishing, and we should too. If we know what we did to become a Christian, then we know enough to start talking to somebody else about what they need to do to become a Christian. If we don't know what we did to become a Christian, then we need to study a little so we know what we did. Because maybe we didn't do what we should have done to become a Christian if we don't even know what we did. Fishing takes a commitment to deal with problems that arise. You ever get your line caught on a limb or a branch or snag of some kind when you were fishing? That's a rough thing. But there are going to be problems, and we need to be ready for them. There are two Arkansas boys. We'll pick on the folks just north of us. We don't want to pick on the folks here in Louisiana. But those Arkansas boys went fishing. They wanted to go ice fishing up in Canada. So they took what they needed. They got their fishing poles. They got their tackle boxes. They got their bait. They got their food. They got their coffee to keep warm. And they got their ice pick. And they went up there to Canada and they found a good spot and they got started with that ice pick. And boy, before long they They were at the store. They asked the fella there if he sold ice picks. He said, I sure do. And they said, well, we need to buy one. And so he sold them one. Well, they left, and a while later, they came back again. He said, what you doing back here? They said, we need another ice pick. So he sold them another one. They went, and they came back again a little while later. He said, what do you need now? They said, how many ice picks have you got? We need to buy them all. He said, well, how's it going? You need that? I mean, what? You must really be doing great. They said, well, said, no, not really. Said, we haven't even got the boat in the water yet. You know, sometimes there are going to be some problems. We need to beware that when those problems arise, we have a choice. We can conquer the problem, or we can give up. But quitters never win, and winners never quit. We've got to deal with the problems. Luke 5 and verse 6, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. That's a problem. They had so many fish in that net that it was straining the net. It was beginning to fray and to break. It's a shame if you catch all the fish and then lose them because your net broke. A lot of fishermen probably have had it happen where they caught one, oh, this is a big one, this is the best one I ever got, and the line broke. Just when, you know, you get up there, get it close, and then snap. And lost it. Well, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, there were some problems too. The disciples were multiplying, but there came up a problem. There was a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, the Greeks, because their widows were being neglected in the daily handing out of the food. They had to deal with that problem. There are going to be problems. When you go out into the world and you're fishing, if you catch folks and bring them into the church, they're going to bring some problems with them. They're going to bring family problems. They're going to bring sin problems that they're struggling with and trying to overcome. They're going to bring all sorts of denominational ideas that they've had in the past or other ideas that aren't right with the Bible. And they're going to bring those things with them, and they're going to have to be overcome. Those difficulties and those problems are going to have to be conquered. I'm double-clicking a little too much there. Fishing takes a commitment to help other fishermen. You know, in our fishing today, things are a little different. The lone angler goes out there with his line and his tackle box and his wading boots or his boat or whatever, and he goes out there and he doesn't need anybody else. In fact, most of the time he wants everybody else to stay away so he can catch the biggest fish by himself. But have you noticed that the way the fishing is described in the Bible is a little different than the way we do it today? The way fishing is described in the Bible is more like the commercial fishing that we have today, and many of us may not be all that familiar with that commercial fishing. In commercial fishing, you can't do it on your own. You need help. You read about their nets, and they had to throw those nets out there. And they had one person couldn't do that. It took at least two and sometimes four or more to do that job. It wasn't a one-person operation. And the same thing is true when we're fishing for men. We've got to help one another. We can't do it on our own, and others can't do it on their own. The cold winter day, an old man went out to do some ice fishing. He cut his hole in the ice, dropped his line in, and waited patiently. He didn't catch anything for the first hour, and not even a nibble. Well, a young boy came up, cut a hole in the ice near him, and dropped his fishing line in. Within just a couple of minutes, he had hooked him a big largemouth bass and pulled it up. The fella looked at him and said, "What? That's got to just be luck, that little fella. I've been fishing for years, and he just comes out and throws it in there." Well, sure enough, a few minutes later, the boy was pulling in another fish, and he still hadn't even had a nibble. And he finally asked the boy, he said, I've been here for well over an hour and I haven't even had a nibble. You've caught several fish here in just a few minutes. What's your secret? How do you do it? The boy said, woo, 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 woo. He said, what? I didn't get that. What did you say? He said, woo, 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 woo. He said, look, son, I appreciate you trying to answer me, but I can't understand a word you're saying. The boy said, huh, you've got to keep your worms warm. Well, we've got to help other fishermen sometimes. They may need some advice. They may need some help to get to what they need to do. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 7, when their net was breaking, they realized they needed some help. They didn't say, oh, macho, I can do it. I can do it myself. They called for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came. And they filled both boats, so they began to sink. Now let's think about this in terms of our reaching out to the lost. One lone angler going out there by themselves isn't going to do it. We need to work together. We need to be doing these things and being able to call on one another to help out. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 says, the things you have heard from me among many faithful witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The more fishermen we have out there, the better off we're going to be. When I lived in Butler, we used to go fishing in the spring, and then before we'd have a gospel meeting, and the Saturday before the gospel meeting started, we'd go do some door knocking in the morning, and then at lunchtime we'd come and we'd have a fish fry. But we had to go catch the fish first. And it was a big trip. Everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of the people in the church would go, and we'd go fishing. We'd go to a pay pond, so it was easier, so they said, to catch fish. But I'll tell you, if they were counting on me to catch enough fish to feed everybody that was going to be at that fish fry, we never would have had one in the 15 years I lived there. Because the whole time, I only ever caught two fish. Xander caught more than I did. Bruce caught more than I did. I only ever caught two fish. In the whole time, all those years going. And that was at a pay pond. I'm just not really a very good fisherman. That's just all there is to it. But the fact of the matter is, we all went and we all worked together. And some folks may have caught 20 fish, and some may have caught 10, and some may have caught 5, and some may have helped others catch some, even though they themselves may not have even been fishing. And that was my problem. Some of the time I was so busy helping Bruce get bait on his line and helping Xander keep bait on his line, sometimes I didn't get to even put a line in the water. But we worked together. And the same thing is true with us. When we have a visitor come, we need to work together. Be polite. Be friendly. When somebody maybe knows somebody that might be interested in studying, but maybe that person has a question they can't answer, don't know how to deal with it, they need to ask somebody else for some help. Help me. Come with me. Let's go study with this person. There are a lot of things that we can do together. There are a lot of things that we can do that will just be a help. Just mentioning, just inviting people to church, just taking and handing out some tracts like Dolores does to get people something to read and think about the Bible. There are a lot of things that we can do that can help the process. We have to be willing to help other fishermen. And then this fellow has an interesting piece of bait there. He's got one of his wife's earrings with some hooks on it. I've seen some of those earrings for sale at the store. Not, my wife doesn't wear those kind like that. It'd be okay if she did. But she did. But I've seen feathers and all sorts of things. I've seen all sorts of earrings hanging. I don't know if that would be a very good thing to use to try to catch a fish or not, though. You know, we've got to use the right bait. Fishing takes a commitment to use the right bait. How are we going to try to attract people? Whatever draws them is what will keep them, the saying goes. Well, a story is told of a couple of ladies who went out fishing. They were in their boat with their lines in the water and having a good time when along came the game warden. And he said, ladies, you got a fishing license? They said, oh, no. He said, we don't have any fishing license. He said, well, you can't be fishing here without a license. They said, you don't understand. He said, we're not really fishing. He said, we've only got magnets on the ends of these lines. We're just collecting the debris from the bottom of the lake here. He said, yeah, I sure you are. He said, pull those lines in and let me see. So they pulled their lines in, and sure enough, they had horseshoe magnets on the ends of their lines. And he said, okay, that's interesting. He said, I don't guess there's anything wrong with that. Get all the debris you want and help clean up the river. That'd be a good thing. And he went on his way, and one of the ladies looked at the other and said, that dumb fish cop doesn't know nothing, does he? Said, doesn't he know there's steelhead in this river? Well, you've got to use the right bait. And I have a feeling those magnets weren't really going to catch anything. You see, Peter realized that he didn't really have what it took at that time to be good bait. Verse 8, when Peter saw what had happened, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He knew that Jesus needed someone better than him, but he was wrong. Jesus could use him. And in fact, Peter's former life, his sinful life, and him becoming one of the apostles and preaching the first sermon was exactly what Jesus wanted to use. To draw people in and help people to understand, no matter what your past, you can have a future with me. Philippians 2:14-16 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul realized that it was important for us to live our lives, to draw people, to be lights in this world, to be the children of God, to draw people to Him. And we need to do just that. We need to use the right bait. And there are many areas where that's the case. Certainly the way that we behave ourselves is one area. But the things that we say and do about the Bible, if we constantly just go up to people and tell them, you're wrong, the Bible doesn't say it, you're lost because you believe, well, that's not going to draw them. That's only going to make them angry where they won't listen to us. And so we have to open the dialogue with them in order to get them to look at the Scriptures. When they say something that's just flat out wrong and against the Bible, ask them a question. Where does the Bible say that? I've never read that before. Put the burden back on them to say, what's the Bible really say? And help them to then look to the Scriptures to answer questions of life. Well, fishing takes another kind of commitment. It takes a commitment to giving the fishing the first priority. You know, fishing is used to get up early in the morning to go fishing. You know, if you wait around until noon to get up and get started going, you're not going to get much fishing done. It's got to be first priority. Kent and his buddies always went fishing every Saturday. For nearly 40 years, they'd been fishing every Saturday. Well, one particular Saturday, they're fishing near a highway, and a funeral procession drives by. Well, Kent stands up, takes off his hat, and puts it over his heart, and stands there as that funeral procession passes by. It's a long procession, takes nearly 5 minutes to go by. After it passes, he sits back down, puts his hat back on, and casts his line back in the water. His buddies are surprised by that action. Never seen anything like that before. And one of them says, well, that sure was a respectful thing you did when that funeral procession went by. He said, well, it seems the least I could do. I was married to the woman for over 40 years. Now that's giving fishing first priority, isn't it? Well, when it comes to evangelism, we need to give it priority. We need to make every effort to make it happen and to put that first on our list of things to do. Luke 5:11, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. They put Jesus first. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, if we get a new car, or even, you know, a new suit of clothes or something, we'll tell our friends about it. How much better the one who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, do we ever tell our friends and neighbors and co-workers, and do we ever tell them about that? That's something to speak out about, to proclaim from the highest hills. Yes, commitment takes, a fishing takes commitment. Commitment to keep your equipment, your lives clean. To go where the fish are. To fish when you get there. To deal with problems that may arise. To help other fishermen. To use the right bait. And to give fishing first priority. How are you doing at your commitment to becoming a fisher of men? There's no greater feeling in the spiritual realm than to see someone that you've reached out to come to Christ. To see them be baptized into Christ and know that, even if it was a small part, that you played a part in them having their soul washed clean and saved by God. It's worth the sacrifices. It's worth the commitment that it takes to do that. Maybe you need to do that yourself today. Maybe you've never come to God. Maybe your soul has never been cleansed. Maybe you yourself are a Christian, but you haven't been living like you should. You haven't been doing what God wanted you to do. Your commitment to Him has wavered. Perhaps you just haven't been fishing like you ought to. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation this morning, please do so as we stand and as we sing.